Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Did Eden and Alexis hook up? Find out more watching Marriage Bootcamp Family Edition. The After Show.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, Buzz.
Hello, hello, lovelies, and hello, my lovely ladies.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Marriage Bootcamp Family Edition, Season 15, Episode 7, Cycling Through the Past. We have so much to talk about today,
yes.
But I can't be here without my lovely, lovely co-host. Again, I'm your girl, Zakiya Wilbert, and I have my lovely Erica Hunter with me.
Hey, guys.
Yes. Let me tell you a little bit about Erica. She loves everything that has anything to do with marriage and counseling. She is our expertise, as she is in her newfound relationship. So, yes, kudos to her. And I cannot not mention Jolene Lunzer. She is your Corey Feldman encyclopedia.
Yes, that's perfect.
She knows everything about this man, mm-hmm. from literally his childhood to now. So if you need, if you have any questions, feel free to comment and ask her, because she can give you the answer. Myself, I'm a fan of Marriage Bootcamp, watching it from seasons beyond. So this is a great show. Love to be on here. We cannot wait to speak about it overall, guys. What we're going to talk about today is the Corey Feldman Show, which keeps being a theme. The exercises, so we had two exercises, the family or the childhood memories along with the childhood problem or problem child. And then we have a special segment, Dysfunctional Families, and as well as some news and gossip. Mm-hmm. So keep watching, guys. We're going to talk about it all. But overall, what were your thoughts? Erica?
I think it was... Okay, so I was talking to you guys before the show, and we all agreed that this episode, comparing to the other ones, was the most emotional episode ever. Like, to the point where, as I was watching it, it was hard for me to not feel each and every story. Mm-hmm. You know, I definitely felt empathetic to each and every one of their stories, because... I mean, it's hard to confront your past. Let's just put that out there. And for them to be as courageous as they were, to say, like, this happened and it's something that I'm still dealing with, I think it just spoke volumes to how they all want to do, how they all do want to heal.
Right.
So it was definitely an emotional one,
Erica,
for me.
Erica, I feel like you should be a marriage and family therapist. That was beautiful. That was so beautiful.
Yes.
Well said. I agree. I mean, this was our most emotional episode yet. Mm-hmm. It was definitely worth it. It's the first time I cried on a marriage boot camp, probably ever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was quite the episode.
Yeah, this episode also had me on the brink of tears. Mm-hmm. I think just seeing the children come out and actually tell their stories allowed me to empathize with them so much more than just hearing them say it. So I'm like, oh, you guys are adults, okay, whatever. But then understanding their stories and understanding their backgrounds, now I see why they do, their behaviors are as such. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you always reflect on yourself too, like watching shows like this.
Yes.
You're like, what was my positive? What was my positive childhood memory? What's the negative? How is that affecting me now? So I think it's always, these shows always make you think of yourself as so annoying. Like,
I love it though.
I'm probably Corey in this sense. I don't want to think about it. But why do you love it?
I love it because, I mean, okay, so as I was watching it, I couldn't help but think, okay, so what are two positive memories of my past? Mm-hmm. And then what's one that's a little bit more traumatic? And of these memories, how do they now translate to me as an adult?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think something that is just known nationwide is your childhood definitely affects who you become as an adult.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so if you haven't dealt with the traumatic experiences of your childhood, then you begin to see it show up
mm-hmm.
when you're an adult.
Yeah.
So
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, I mean, I think it was a healthy exercise for sure. One that was hard to watch, and I'm sure for the family's hard to do as well. But mm-hmm. you gotta do the hard stuff if mm-hmm. you want to heal. You do.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. I commend them as well. One person that stood out to me was the Corey in this episode. And we have been saying this time and time again that it's the Corey, the Corey show, the Corey show. So I want to bring out something that I thought was interesting was when it first turned on, it was the relationship between him and Aaron or the conversation. What were your overall thoughts on their conversation together when the episode first started?
I mean, I feel like they were making a little bit of headway, but I think Aaron just sees Corey as kind of spitting BS constantly, mm-hmm. and he's mm-hmm. not here for it, and he wants him to be real, and we see this with Corey. He'll make a little bit of progress, and then he'll go back.
I know, and it's so frustrating.
Yes, by blaming his brother or somebody else. So I think Corey wants them to connect on this level, but again, like I said last episode, I really feel like Aaron is projecting his feelings towards his brother Nick onto Corey, and mm-hmm. he sees all the bad aspects of Nick in Corey. Mm-hmm. So they're not on a friendly page, as much as Corey would like them to be.
Of course.
Is like, no.
I think Corey is just trying to get someone on his side.
Yes.
If I'm being
he's
honest.
To an ally.
Yeah, he has his wife on the show. That's his wife, correct?
Yes, Courtney.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. He has his wife on the show.
Sorry.
His wife is on the show, and obviously she's of support to him. But I think he's also trying to build community in the household, which might be difficult for him. I don't know. From what I see, it looks like he doesn't have, you know, anyone other than Courtney to rely on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I see the same. I think he's trying to get an ally or someone on his team. But the way he's doing it is manipulative. Like, he's like, yeah, I just want someone to see who I am and feel me. Like, do you understand? And he's still pushing himself on Aaron as if, like, I don't want you to be against me from, like, what you're hearing, what other people are talking about. And it's like, it's not other people. It's you. What you're saying, what you're projecting, and the attitude and behaviors you're doing is why everyone is thinking the way they do. But yet he thinks him having this conversation with Aaron will make Aaron his friend. So I think that's kind of annoying. And one thing that also annoyed me, and I love Corey as a person, and I hope he does get the help that he needs, but I think he saying that everyone cheated. He said that everyone on the exercise from the last exercise cheated. What were you guys' overall thoughts? He's saying, like, you guys may have looked underneath the blindfold, was it?
No. It's, again, him not being able to take responsibility.
Yeah, and it's so, I mentioned that it's so discouraging, mm-hmm. which it is, because I feel like I'm seeing growth from everyone else in the house but Corey. Mm-hmm. And it's like, though I'm not a Corey fan, I wouldn't say that, you know, prior to this show, I was a Corey fan. Mm-hmm. That's my friend here.
Me.
But, you know, I definitely am rooting for everyone's healing on this show. So, Corey, I was rooting for you, and I want to continue to root for you, but I need you to acknowledge that you, much like everybody else in the house, are there for the purpose of figuring out your healing. Mm-hmm. And stop feeling like you're... Or stop coming off as if you don't need the help, because you're obviously on this show because you do.
My Corey
disclaimer.
Fan. Right. My Corey fan.
You know, I can still be a fan and still be critical of him on this show.
Yes.
And I am, because I feel like he came on the show thinking he wasn't the issue and this was all his brother. And he continues to kind of push that narrative. And any kind of pushback on that, he's like, I'm a victim. Everyone's picking on me. It's like, no, everyone's not picking on you. It's just, it takes all three of you to work on yourselves to make this relationship better.
Right.
Even if Corey, let's say, he didn't have these issues that he has, just Eden working on himself would not improve their relationship. They have to both improve, because it always takes two. It's never just one person's fault. In any breakup you've ever been in any kind of turmoil with family, it's always you know, two people.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Corey, we want you to get the help that you need, but you need to want to get the help that you need.
I love that you said that. Yes. Yes. He has to want it for himself.
So until he wants it, he's going to keep blaming others. He's going to say everyone else cheated. Ugh. It's all just lies that you want to make yourself feel better. That's fine, but hopefully you get past this. The first exercise was the childhood memories exercise, and that was for you guys. It was the one that they're drawing out their childhood memories, and I want to get so deep into it because this was touching before we get to the child problem exercise. But so we seen Penelope and Alexis. What truth did you see between Penelope and Alexis, or something that either was different between their childhood memories or the same? I guess I'll start with whoever wants to start.
Well, I feel like from this exercise, I now know why Penelope doesn't speak her mind. And it's because as a child, she was working out in the farm, correct?
Yes.
And her father would instruct her to do all of these tasks or whatever. And her father was also abusive. And so she felt in their relationship that she had no voice. She couldn't say anything because her father would react maybe abusively. And so I can now understand why Penelope is quiet.
Yes.
You know, all of the episodes where we've said, Penelope, speak your mind.
Yes.
Now I get it. And I, again, am empathetic because she hasn't dealt with that. And she also mentioned that she was happy when her father died because she felt free.
Oh, that was
just thinking about it now, it's like, wow. And I think for Alexis, hearing her mom admit that, it in that moment made her understand, you know what, my mom is human. She's gone through some things, you know, and what would it look like for me to be her daughter and show up for her as her daughter? So I think it was just a really great vulnerable moment.
And I think it's something that everyone can take something away from, which we talked about earlier when Zakiya is like, damn, they make me think of my own stuff. But I mean, even when you look at your own parents and family, we can always be more empathetic. You know, your parents are never gonna be the picture perfect, whatever that is. So have empathy in maybe give them credit for how far they've come, coming from what they've come from. Because I know for myself, I've done that in my own family, to be like, wow, my parents, you know, came this far and they had to put up with this, because every generation, you know, has its own turmoil. So it made me almost more mad at Alexis, because I'm like, have you never asked your mom? And not to, you know, like discredit Alexis's journey or, you know, her hardship with the divorce and stuff. But I'm like, man, Penelope had it hard. And if that was my mom, my heart would be so hurting for her. And I think I would be able to be more empathetic. And I almost look at Alexis, probably because I know her prior on The Real Housewives of Orange County, as just kind of a spoiled brat a little bit. Where, yeah, you had to pick up some slack for your mom. Yeah, your parents were divorced. All those are very hard, traumatic things for a kid. But didn't you ever ask about your mom? Or did her mom maybe not want to share it? That, you know, could be. But I find that hard to believe. I think, I don't know, it just made me look at Alexis like, you couldn't ask. Like, how we got there, how these cycles, how these patterns happened.
So. Yeah, I agree. I think what I tried to connect between the both of them, and I saw, well, Alexis, where Penelope was saying she went to her journal more. She always spoke in her journal. She never spoke out loud. And I felt like, in the shoes of Alexis as a child, thinking of like my relationship with my mom, I probably would have never asked, because you're always looking at to your mom to be a mother.
Yeah.
So for her, she's like, no. And then when I had to take your place, I'm annoyed. Now I despise you. I don't want to really talk to you. And the only thing I see is my own troubles. But I think it did help them connect more and mend together. But I can see both sides. She was more so quiet and timid in her approach. And she didn't really feel like anyone ever listened to her. So she never talked. And Alexis was like, I always had to speak. I always had to be the mom because you weren't there to be it. But she didn't know how. So I don't know. I try to connect it. But it's still sad. Everyone has so many valid points when it comes to their relationship. I feel that there's so many different elements to it, because I don't think you're wrong, and I don't think you're wrong, but I think there's so much that goes into it that we don't even see. Another relationship that we've seen a breakthrough, which I was finally, I'm like, finally, but it still was, it was hurtful to even see, was with Michael, Gloria, Laura. And I think we should even tie in, like, seeing the children at this point. Let's just tie it in, because literally these exercises went hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So what were your overall thoughts when you finally saw Michael cry?
This is the moment I cried.
Yes.
Is with Michael. Is when it finally dawned on Michael. It's that beautiful moment that's so sad and heartbreaking, but when it's like, what happened to you, how you felt, is how your daughter felt you did her. And he's like, oh my gosh. It's almost like he never was able to see it like that. And there was probably all these walls of denial up to protect himself that he was never able to knock down. And when he was able to see it firsthand and compare it, because for some reason as humans, you know, we're kind of self-absorbed, self-centered. We think the world revolves around us. I have to remind myself on a regular basis that, like, not everything's about you, Jolie. Like, that person didn't cut you off because anything. You know, this world, you know, has lots of people and you have to learn to live in it with them. And so I think until you see, until it's compared, like, what you went through, that person went through, too. And you're like, oh, then you have empathy. It's kind of like with anything. If someone's against something until it happens to their family, then they're like, well, I didn't get it. I didn't have empathy for it until it affected me and my life. And I feel like Michael was able to see that through the comparison of his own childhood. And it was, oh, when he cried. And then Gloria said, he hasn't cried in 46 years.
Yes.
And then, okay, I'm sorry to go on. But
go
then,
ahead.
Go for it.
I'm going to cry it. Again. Yeah.
But then when Lauren turned toward him and said, but you're my hero.
Yes.
Oh, that took me out.
Yes. Yes, literally.
I'm fogging up my glasses. But that was beautiful. And to have such horrible things happen to both of them and then have that empathy, that's love. That's real love, to be able to look past that and say that.
Yeah, I think it was beautiful. I loved every moment of that. And it's funny to me because he denied that he cried. Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah.
He was like, no, I didn't cry. I was just emotional. And I'm like, just acknowledge that you felt what you felt in that moment. And that moment was probably the most beautiful moment I've seen on this show, period.
Yeah, same. I was rooting for their family. And at first, I didn't think we were going to see a breakthrough. But to see that Michael had the same experience as Laura, and that he was denying that Laura had because he was in the home with his aunt and there were prostitutes and people just living in that home and he was ignored. And to see that he was actually ignoring Laura's problem, that breakthrough was, it was crazy to me. I didn't think I was ever going to see him cry. I didn't think he was ever going to get it. I didn't think he was ever going to see her point of view. I gave up on them, honestly. I'm just like, they're just going to be here, kind of get through some type of mid emotional breakthrough, but it's not going to be serious. And to bring in Gloria, her childhood, now we see why she was always quiet, because she was put in a closet her school. So that was also sad. So that's why she never speaks up for Laura, because she was just learned to just be quiet. So their entire, I think, learning the past of each and every one of them, and not just the one who had the overall problem right now, because they obviously all have problems, was what we needed to hear as viewers and what they needed to see. And I think, like you were saying, and like I was saying before, it really allows us to at least, like, look into our own lives and see some type of turnaround for ourselves or something that we can work on.
Laura is just so strong. I just have so much respect for her as the show goes on. Everything she's been through, and how, despite feeling unheard by her dad, she can open up and understand his pain and tell him at that time what he needs to hear to move on. That's beautiful. Like, that's, like, goals.
Yeah. And I think what was shocking to hear about Laura's, remember she said her car accident?
I
knew nothing about that.
Nothing. So I guess the scar, and I started to realize it more and more as she said it, that the scar on the side of her head was because they almost ran over her head, or they did run over her head.
Yeah, because I remember someone mentioning she's so blessed to be alive. Because that's a situation that I know I haven't heard of that people survive from. So I now follow Laura on Instagram, and every time I see a picture of her, I admire her now on a completely different level.
I'm following her right now.
You have to, yeah.
One heck of a human being. Yeah. And I really appreciate her vulnerability throughout this season.
Mm-hmm. And similar to Alexa, she was also on, like, one of the Basketball Wives or something like that. And to see her outside of that element, again, so much more respect for her.
Yeah.
I think we also learned to respect Eden. And Courtney, and even Corey, and with their relationship and the things that they had to endure and the abuse that they had to go through. Were you guys shocked of hearing any of their stories between them? Because I know we hear a lot about Corey's abuse before, but was anything shocking to you or something that you're proud that they got off their chest or something?
I need to be reminded of Courtney's story.
Well, Courtney was having alcoholic parents. So I think it makes more sense now why she had that reaction to alcohol and people being drunk around her. Where before, I judged her, I know, on this panel where I was like, get over it. I mean, I know being around drunk people is annoying. But yes, if you come from alcoholism, that's extra annoying, also triggering. And the thing about alcoholism is, it, especially being like a child of alcoholics, is you, anything can happen. That's the scary thing, is things can switch, you know, can turn on a dime. And that's kind of the scary part, is you don't know, you don't feel safe because it is a drug, and people under the influence don't act like themselves. And as a small child having to deal with adults who are drunk, you, there's so many things that, you know, make you feel unsafe, because you're like, well, who's responsible? Because everyone's drunk. So I can totally understand Courtney now, and have a lot of respect for her. And I do like how Courtney on this show, too, she will go out of her way to go up to people and comfort them and hear their stories.
That's something that I noticed, too, because she went up to Jane, I think, at some point in the episode and was consoling her. So that was really beautiful to see as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think we both were ragging on Courtney because at some point we were like, she has no personality. But it all came full circle, hearing her story and understanding her, she went through alcoholism. And I was really shocked to hear that Eden was getting hit by boom boxes and frying pans. And he's just like shrugging it off, and you gain so much respect for them that you didn't have the last episode.
They all are now like human beings to us. It's like, oh my god, you went through that? I love you now. I want to hug you. You know?
Like, I'm not mad at you anymore. And I think we all can relate to.
Come on the show so we can all have a group hug.
We can embrace each other.
And cry together.
Yes, because their stories were crazy. And another story that was pretty crazy was Aaron and Jane's. And I think learning Jane's story in particular, because Aaron talks about his story all the time. Not that exact one, but he talks about his story all the time. But to hear Jane's story was an eye-opener for me. What did you guys think of her story?
So was it her mom wanted her to be a boy?
A boy,
And cut her hair. And I know there was more to it.
Her mom didn't want to have any girls.
And so that's horrible.
Cut her hair, made her dress like a boy, and didn't talk to her.
So it was like neglect.
I bet you her mom, well, her mom was an addict, right? That she came from alcoholism. I'm assuming she must have.
I don't remember them saying that, but I would assume so, too. Well, her dad was. Her dad always got away, and he went to
He always
drink.
Was at bars.
So she kind of was like, I want to be like, what was my dad? But what were your thoughts on her story? Did it help you understand her? Even though she was always so good with taking the exercises seriously, but it did help you actually understand who she was.
I can now see, since she as a child was neglected, why or how she would then neglect her own child. Because if you don't have an example of what parenthood looks like, and then you jump into parenthood, you kind of bring along the things that you saw from your parents, you know? And it just, you know, speaks to the fact that we all have to be intentional with our relationships. So regardless of what I might have experienced in my childhood, beating that, you know, making sure that I now not bring those traumatic experiences into my personal relationships. So
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it made us more empathetic towards Jane. It makes a lot more sense why mm-hmm. she turns to alcohol, because that was her dad's way out, mm-hmm. so that's her way out. And to have a mother who basically says, you were born wrong, and then didn't want to talk to you, mm-hmm. and I just am guessing here, but it probably some kind of maybe competition thing where she didn't want another woman or female in the house, some kind of unhealthy belief like that, because why else would you not want a baby girl?
Right.
It doesn't make much sense. So, yeah, I mean, Jane was never given the tools to be a good parent,
right.
and then she married really young, had a bunch of kids, and so when was she supposed to learn?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I empathize with Jane a lot more, too, and I think Aaron, never knowing her story, sort of did as well. The whole guy, her trying to be a guy situation, or her mother wanting her to be a guy, I didn't understand it at first, but now since you said her mother didn't accept her, mm-hmm. and so now I'm understanding how effective that could affect you. Like, if my mom didn't accept me for anything or who I was, how I would go into life, how I will always look at everything bad. I'll just probably do whatever I want. I would have no hope. So maybe she never had any hope for anything. Instead, she just wanted to party it away, live some type of fantasy that she never got to live before.
And escape from her reality.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the only thing I can draw back from, because I'm like, what? How would that affect me as a person? But I know something that's super effective and that we all love to talk about, and that is AfterBuzz TV. Jolene, can you please tell us why?
Oh my gosh. We love being the ESPN of TV talk. We appreciate all of you. So make sure you comment and subscribe to us on YouTube. Also rate, review us on iTunes, because otherwise, we love talking about all this stuff and marriage boot camp and therapy.
Yes.
And we want to hug all of you.
Yes.
You, right there.
You.
Do it right
you.
Now.
You.
Give a thumbs up.
I know. And I want to touch on this because, obviously, like, we know all their stories now. And then the children came in for the exercise, too. And we actually got to see the effects of their childhood or what happened to them, their traumatic experience played out. So tell us how you guys felt when you actually seen the children play out. And if you're talking about a certain family, this is a trick. I'm gonna put a cap on this. The next person can't talk about that family. So talk about a different family.
This spice is a trick.
We're gonna turn around a little bit, make it interesting. So whoever wants to start.
I found a little bit of irony in the fact that we have child actors there, and we're dealing with child entertainment people who later in life are so messed up, partly because of that, speaking, you know, for Corey, who's talked a lot about that, and Aaron as well. So I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
But the kids were great. I mean, they did a great job reenacting things. Trying to think which one particularly spoke to me. Obviously, the Govins. I mean, seeing little Michael, seeing little Gloria, seeing little Laura. Mm-hmm. It was just, that was the moment that was, it was so much. And then they went and hugged them afterwards. And those kids, I mean, Academy Award winning performance. They killed it. They killed it, so.
I would say Penelope and Alexis.
Mm-hmm,
so more so Penelope, because I think episode after episode I would get on here and say, Penelope, I want to hear you speak.
Yep.
And now knowing her childhood and why she has just defended, or not defended, but put up this wall of no one cares about what I have to say, so I'm not going to voice my opinion. It just made sense to me. So I think, of all of the families, her coming, you know, saying that was the reason for her not speaking up was something that, you know, was definitely admirable.
Yeah. And speaking on the children, because I think the children for all of us was the icing on the cake.
Oh.
That's what allowed us to really understand their stories, because we saw them draw the pictures, we heard what they had to say, and like, I'm speaking for myself, if anyone didn't feel the same, please let me know if you guys didn't feel, but I was just like, okay, yeah, that happened, you know, and I understood, but, you know, I kind of shrugged it off. When we actually had the kids come and speak and say the stories in their voices, with their interactions with everyone, it really was, wow, you were a child and you went through this traumatic experience, and as now I'm placing myself in my own childhood or mm-hmm. in or being a child and trying to look through like your lens and what you went through, I can completely understand it. And I honestly want to say when I saw Corey and because I can't pick you guys, I made this silly rule and I got sick with it. But when I saw Corey, Eden, and Courtney's mm-hmm. children and how they played out, I think I understood Courtney's mm-hmm. story way more mm-hmm. and how they were explaining at the end how they had the children say, this is why when I grow up, I'm going to have a loving family and I'm never going to have any negativity because of what I went through. And I think with Corey just understanding his story and Eden saying, this is why I'm going to move out as soon as I can. And so I understood their actions. But one thing that it was like we finally had a breakthrough.
I know what you're going to say.
Eden and Corey finally hugged it out. And then Corey turns around and says, I'm glad you're finally seeing whatever he said. Something outlandish.
I'm happy that you're taking responsibility.
Yes.
So unnecessary.
Unnecessary. Completely. Like, Corey, we were there. We were like this close. You were crying.
It could have been a moment.
It was definitely, you know? It was definitely supposed to be a moment. And everyone was like,
there we go. He did it again, too, when they were talking about the movies and him escaping through movies. He's like, yeah, but I went alone. And
yes.
He's like, well, yeah, everyone escapes the movies, but you had friends. Like, why is this a competition? And I get it. I can empathize in the fact that their mom put them in constant competition of one another. Corey was number one. Eden was number two. Mm-hmm. But they both endured abuse. But like you said, Erica, you have to break out of that now and recognize it. And don't do that same thing to your brother. Your mom always puts you in competition, but you're an adult now. So you can cognitively think like, oh, I'm not going to do that to my brother. That was wrong what my mom did. I'm going to look at us on an equal level and not compare each other. And especially pain.
Because now as an adult, you have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, as kids, you don't have much say in what goes on. But if you are now an adult and you want to fix a relationship that has, you know, experienced years of turmoil, then you have the choice to do that.
Exactly.
And Corey forgets that. You know, yes, Eden and you have gone through whatever differences you all have gone through, but now you're an adult to be able to fix it.
Yep. Yeah. I always roll my eyes, but I know something that gave me complete joy was actually seeing Eden and Alexis' relationship. Something is sizzling and brewing up in there.
I think they're just bored in the house, I'm being honest.
So you don't think that they're hooking up?
I think they're hooking up.
I mean, yeah, they're hooking up, but think about it. You're on this boot camp. You're in the house for X amount of days.
10.
And yeah. And so, you know, you might want to just... you might want to get
boot.
Off.
You're like, hop in the tub.
In, you know? So I think they're just bored in the house and are trying to entertain themselves.
Yeah.
Well,
Alexis
it's real.
Is fresh out of a divorce.
Yes.
And if I know about her ex-husband because I watched the show. And she needs to get some good stuff because I don't think ex-husband was giving it very good. So
I love how she slipped that in there.
But yeah, so I kind of think Alexis has got a little, you know, lady boner for Eden. And, you know, there were, I mean, I wanted to see more, but of course they cut it.
Right. Yeah.
And then they're going, and they brought pillows into the bathroom, into the tub, probably because the cameras
can't
necessarily go in there.
Yes.
So I think Alexis was moved by what Eden said. So I think there's an attraction there. And Zakiya and I, Erica, when you weren't here, and we'll have to get your thoughts on this, we were thinking Eden can get it. Like, he's kind of cute.
Eden is
hot. Absolutely.
Eden is
hot.
I'm not mad at Alexis if she gave it up.
We're all in.
Yes.
Cute. Comparing to his brother.
Yeah.
He's the cuter brother for sure.
For sure. And the cute. Yeah. So I think Alexis is attracted to him. Eden attracted? Sure. Why not? I think they. But I also do think it's a little boredom, obviously. Yeah.
I kind of think the opposite. I think they really like each other. Yes. You know how that saying goes, and I'm probably making up this saying. When there's like pain and you find comfort and romance in this pain, totally making this up. But I think that they're listening to each other's story and they're understanding each other and they're getting closer. And this is their way of finally heating something up. I think they really like each other.
And I think in this episode, because I jotted this down, Eden mentioned that he wishes that he had a partner.
Yes.
When he saw Corey and Courtney, like, you know, canoodling or whatever, he's like, oh, I wish I had a partner.
He
said something along the lines of that. And
he
I was
should.
Like,
He's trying to get with Alexis. Yeah.
I think when they went in that bathroom, mm-hmm. they did a little something more than just talking. Yep. But like, moving on to something super exciting that we love to call special segment, our special segment where we talk about dysfunctional families. Erica.
Okay, so when we were talking about who we were going to use as a dysfunctional family,
yes,
I instantly thought of this person. I'm going to see if you guys can guess who they might be. So they actually had their own reality TV show back in, I want to say, I don't know what year. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's quite a few reality shows. So let me just help you out. They have a conjoined family. So the husband came in with, I want to say, two of his own children prior to the marriage. Mm-hmm. And then the wife came in with her own children as well. Any guesses?
Well, I was going to say the Osbournes, but I know Sharon didn't have kids pre-Ozzy Osbourne, so no. I'm wrong. And is there a time frame the show was on? Like, was it early 2000s?
It was like...
I don't want to say
Give us another
hint.
Yeah.
The husband is a rapper.
Okay.
And the wife used to be a rapper.
T.I.
She's actually...
Okay.
And Tiny.
Yes.
Okay, so ladies, I wanted to talk about why they might be seen as dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, when I thought about who could act as our dysfunctional family for this week, I thought about more recently, he's been trending in the media because mm-hmm. he takes his daughter to the gynecologist to make sure she's still a virgin. Yeah. Anyway, their marriage is something that we see all the time.
Fluctuating.
It's just never... It's never steady. Yeah. But I mean, what do you guys think?
I love them, but T.I.'s comment really took me. I'm just like, why T.I.? Sometimes I just wish you would just not talk. Mm-hmm. Like, because I love you, and then we say stuff like this, which is, this is my first time actually being disappointed in T.I., I'm not going to lie. But their relationship has always been in the media as fluctuating. But I think that's any relationship. I think they just have...
A hard time covering their issues. It's always in the media.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Because I do agree that obviously in marriage you go through your ups and downs,
mm-hmm. yep.
but does it always have to be exposed to the world?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And theirs was definitely through reality TV.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and it's kind of, you know, if you start making your money that way, people expect you to keep up mm-hmm. with the news. But I totally agree with both of you. I was so disappointed with T.I. and those comments about his daughter. And why aren't you getting your sons checked?
Right.
First of all, don't get anybody checked because it's her body, her choice. And no, thank you. But I do love Tiny. I do.
Yes.
And, you know, mm-hmm. when they came back recently with Escape, I was so excited. Mm-hmm. But, they've had lots of issues throughout mm-hmm. the years. And I think you're right, Erica, with relationships. And whatever works for them. To me, I'm kind of like, if that works for you, that's fine. As long as it's not, you know, ruining, you know, your children's lives or things like that. But it's somewhat dysfunctional.
Yeah, and a lot of cheating on mm-hmm. T.I.'s part. Mm-hmm. That's what we hear.
Yeah.
He had a lot of mistresses. Maybe not a lot. It might have been just one or two.
I hope she had some misters then.
I hope so, too.
Oh, no, let's not condone cheating. We don't condone cheating here at After Buzz.
Well,
I'm a mistress for a mistress. Eye for an eye.
Right. Good. Let's
go. I didn't realize we were condoning. We need Erica here all the time because you keep us on a moral high ground.
We don't have any morals.
No, because me and Dakira are like, yeah, cheat back. Cheat hard.
Do it.
No.
Oh, good. News Rats and gossip. You got some news and gossip for us.
Okay. Just quickly, you guys, I don't know if you are following what's going on with Aaron Carter, but a lot of things have been happening over the last couple of weeks with Aaron Carter. If you follow him on Instagram Live, if you don't and you're interested, do, because mm-hmm. lots of things are coming out. Recently, Nick Carter, his brother, was granted a one-year restraining order against Aaron Carter. This has been going on for a while. Las Vegas court has reportedly granted former Backstreet Boy Nick Carter a one-year restraining order against his troubled younger brother. So that's what's happening right now. Apparently, there was, it's alleged that Aaron threatened Nick's wife and daughter, and you know,
oh, God.
So all this allegedly. Also, Aaron Carter reportedly screams at a judge after he was forced to surrender his guns, because a lot of people are questioning where he's at right now mentally and if he's in fact sober. Briefly, we talked about last week, he went out to get his mom, who recently relapsed. They're very codependent on one another. And they had this car ride, I think, from Florida to California or some wherever Aaron's current house is. And there were lots of dogs and there was possible animal abuse. And they just, neither of them seemed to be fully coherent. So I really hope that they get some help. But in California court earlier this week, former pop star Aaron Carter was ordered by a judge to surrender his firearms. It seems he didn't take the news very well. This is not the Carters' first legal trouble. Over the years, the former House of Carter star has had multiple well-publicized drug related arrests, but he does say that he is sober right now. However, he went from, I think, 160 pounds to 115 pounds. So people are asking what's going on. So basically, he got very upset at the judge when they took away his firearms, which there have been, I've watched his lives, you guys have been paying attention, and there have been multiple reports for wellness checks. So he will film this live on his Instagram, the police coming, and you'll hear him, and he's not making a lot of sense. I don't know what's going on with him, but it's not right.
Wow.
So, goodness. Aaron, get better. Ooh, get well.
Please, please get better. Predictions. Let's move on to predictions.
After Buzz TV predictions.
After hearing that, I have to just, nothing else to be said. But what I predict for the next show is that we'll see some more breakthroughs, and hopefully we'll get the 411 on Eden and Alexis, if they actually hooked up or not. What about you, Erica?
I think they're going to keep us waiting to see Alexis and Eden's little rendezvous. Ooh. I think it's not going to be uncovered fully in the next episode, because obviously we tune in week after week to see what's the juice, you know, and that right now is the juice. So I think we might not see that until maybe the finale.
I think Alexis is going to get pregnant, and it's going to be Eden's baby.
Wait, cut. What?
Just what I'm hoping. A beautiful marriage boot camp baby could have.
Yes.
That'd be interesting. But I think what's going to happen is we are going to see. I think they are going to hold it a little more. It'll start off the beginning of the episode, and it'll be like, oh, look, they went in the bathroom, and then we'll have to go through all the counseling. But ultimately, people are going to call them out. They're going to wonder, did you do it? Did you die?
Right.
They did it.
Right. Well, we hate to say goodbye, but we have to. So make sure you all tune in next week. I'm your girl, Zakiya Wilbert. You can reach me on Instagram at ZakiyaW_.
Hey, guys. And you can follow me on all social media at ErikaJoyHTV.
Yes. And I'm Jolene Lunzer. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jolene Lunzer.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.